Hello.
Hello.
Howdy, folks.
Hello.
Hi, Charlotte. Hello. Tell you what, I'm trying to work my French press over here. I think French people must have much stronger arms than I do. This thing is not going down easily.
Or maybe your coffee is too strong. You have put in too much.
Is almost certainly the case. I had my grinder and I was sitting there looking at it and I'm like, I could scoop it out, but that looks like about enough already. So I just dumped the whole thing in there. I think maybe I miscalculated.
So what you're saying is your coffee looks like the coffee from Green Acres. Which I'm dating myself there, and if anyone gets that reference.
But
Well.
Danes and yes, Swedish people are even worse. It needs to be strong coffee, otherwise it's then it's not worth drinking.
Well, I'm happy to report I was successful, and it seems like we're good to go. We can give folks a couple more minutes to get here. Well, I guess actually we could seem to have a pretty full crowd already. All right, let me get my screen shared and we can get started. Right. How does that look? Can y'all all see something that looks like our meeting notes agenda
Yes.
for today? Awesome.
Yep.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, welcome everybody. Oh, Alexis is saying that she's note taker and she has no sound. So we can let her have a moment to try to figure that out. Though I suppose we should all be thinking what we will do if we need okay, you're good? Awesome. All right. Cool. All right, well, welcome folks to the October 9th Product Council meeting. First order of business is note taker, and Alexis seems to be indicating that she's good to go with that. So that's great. Thank you, Alexis. And next order of business is for me to close the blinds right here because I cannot see my screen at all. So I'll be right back. All right, there we go. All right, yeah, let's do announcements. It looks like we have been successful in getting more of the states to sign up to share their priorities. So next week, looks like the MMSIG is signed up to share their priorities. And then we also have the CrossApp SIG signed up for the 30th. So good job, liaisons, if y'all were instrumental in getting that to happen. And thank you, SIGs, for being proactive and getting on that topic calendar for us. I do want to point out once again that this is a distinct endeavor from our proposed rotational updates. We want to get these priority interviews with SIGs out of the way before we dive into firing up a new schedule to have rolling updates from the SIG. So even though the kind of rhythm of it might seem similar, it's a slightly different thing.
So yeah, I added consortium sig, I think the 30th, but it wasn't totally clear to me whether there was already something on the agenda for that day. So if I need to move it, let me know.
Thank you for doing that. We have done two SIGs in one meeting. I think that that's
Okay.
fine. So as far as I know, and anyone here feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think two SIGs in one go is just fine. So
Okay. We'll see you on the 30th then.
awesome. Thank you. And then also I was gonna pass it off to Thomas to talk to us a little bit about an endeavor to do some classification of applications. Potentially. Is that something, Thomas, that you'd be able to talk with us about?
Sure, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Doing multiple things at once today. there was a, this should be fairly quick. During WolfCon, implementers and RA both came up with the same idea of doing a survey that dives into what parts of Folio libraries are using. So it'd be collecting general information about the library and then deep diving into the actual usage of Folio. If, like, for instance, they're using fines fees, and if they're within fine fees, are they using lost fees, replacement fees, that sort of thing. The more they were talking, the more I thought that this might be something that PC might want to pick up and kind of do the overarching survey part and then have the SIGs do the more in-depth part. I thought this could actually tie into the CDD effort, because that way we could get a sense of what parts of Folio are being used by the community, which might help us decide what are core applications and what aren't core application or core functionality. So that's just something I wanted to throw on everyone's radar that possibly we could talk about later on.
I would be definitely interested also in knowing if that was something that just the excitement of WolfCon people were thinking about, or if it's an idea that they've persisted with after the fact. Is that do you know if that's something that has come up again after WolfCon for them?
Yeah, we did talk about it in the last RA SIG briefly, and implementers has talked about it. I think with primarily implementers, the drive behind it was just trying to figure out who's using Folio and get their information to help other implementing libraries. Where RA, the drive was more around prioritization, because they're, like with all SIGs, there's only a small amount of people representing the SIG. So if you put out a survey that says half the libraries out there are using courses, obviously anything that comes up with courses might be more of a priority than the people sitting there. So I think this is going to last for a while. I don't think it's going to fizzle out. And yeah, as I said, I think this is something that might help us with our overall efforts as well.
That does make sense. I know whether, I mean, it seems like discussing whether or not the PC wants to be directly involved in some sort of effort like that seems worthwhile. Mostly just because even if we aren't directly involved, if like for instance, if the implementers SIG were to gather that kind of information, I think the PC would definitely be interested in analyzing it and taking a look at it. And I think you're absolutely right that it could inform some of our aspirational endeavors. Jana.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, everyone. And hi, Tom. I think that's a great idea. And also the connection to the CDD efforts is really, I think, obvious almost, because then it will be clear where the where help is needed maybe, and where maintenance may be best directed to. So I think that is a great idea. And I think the working group that will be formed by the PC should also have a part in that. And I would
That makes good
very,
sense.
very much like to be a part of that as well.
That's great. Awesome. Any other announcements? Anything else that we don't have on here that needs to be announced? I did actually I did post an announcement of pretty broadly earlier this morning. about an endeavor. A lot of the self-hosting implementers, or at least everyone we could find who is self-hosting Folio, have been gathering together periodically over the last few months, and have decided to kind of form a group, maybe a support group. It depends on how you look at it. For institutions and organizations that are not taking advantage of hosting providers, but instead hosting themselves, we're calling ourselves SHIM, for self-hosting implementers. It's a super creative name. Because a lot of us have been in a situation where we're trying to get Eureka up and running and still fully intend to make that happen, a lot of us have been grown concerned about the timeline on that and wanting to be able to move on to another version of Folio that we were able to get up and running as we try to get Eureka off the ground. So we've engaged with Index Data to have a release cut of Sunflower on a copy, which is something that we've broken ground on already and are hoping to be testing this month and into next month, and hope to have ready for production deployment in December. That's kind of the timeline on that. So I think I put an announcement in the various council channels and then also in the Folio releases channel. So. All right. Housekeeping. There was on the calendar, there was a round of SIG updates scheduled for the 16th, but we will be removing that. So if you're a liaison, be sure to draw your SIG's attention to that fact that we will be removing that update, because we are hoping to move to the rolling updates, and also we prefer not to detract from the priority updates. Yes, yeah, Shim, yeah, has definitely has meaning in both construction and in software development as something that kind of fills a gap. Let's see. Another thing that we should probably turn our attention to. I meant to include a link here to our calendar. Does anyone have that handy, link to the product council calendar? It was drawn to our attention and during our planning meeting that there may be some inaccuracies on the calendar, and that's something that we probably need to pull up at a regular interval to make sure that the events that we have on there are accurate and that the calendar doesn't have things it doesn't need to have on there and does have all the things it does need to have on there. And if I remember correctly, Todd, was it you who brought up this concept of meeting note norms? Is Todd with us?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I thought it would be worth just having a brief discussion about what we want out of the meeting notes. One of the things I've observed in a number of groups where the note-taking rotates is that people have very different styles of notes. And there's often a lot of inconsistency. So I was wanted to have just a brief discussion about what do we want out of the notes. I mean, to my way of thinking, meeting minutes at the very least have clearly marked decisions. There are other degrees of meeting notes that run the gamut from summary of discussion to almost a transcript. But I think whatever we settle on, the bare minimum is to have the bare minimum is to have decisions and actions very clearly indicated. Other thoughts on what our meeting notes should be, especially from people who've been around the PC for a long time.
I have some thoughts, but I'd like to leave the floor open to other folks first.
Well, I will just jump in. Sorry, Charlotte, I saw that you also unmuted.
Go ahead, Jana.
Okay, so I would be happy to have some kind of template or something that I can look to and say this is the perfect kind of notes we want to have. So I think I really like that you bring it up. Because I'm very unsure, since I'm not a native speaker, that I have not the best notes, and I always ask for feedback. So this is very helpful. Responding to feedback would be nice. yeah, so feedback would be nice.
Yeah,
So,
I think
Todd.
that. Oh, go. Yeah, go ahead, Charlotte, please.
I like your suggestion, Todd, about do a summary of the what was decided, what was the next step, etc. But you know, sometimes our conversations is not that well organized. It depends on who is speaking and what the topic is. And the risk is that if you are not, at least for me, I type when I hear the conversation. Because otherwise, I maybe end up having nothing when the topic is then over. So I'd say the meeting convener then needs to, just before we end the talk of that topic, kind of summarize, okay, what is the decisions here? What is the next step, etc.
That's a really good point, Charlotte. And I've convened a lot of meetings, and I don't know if I've ever really consciously acknowledged the responsibility of a meeting convener to do those kind of recaps for the purpose of making things easier for the note taker. So I think that's a really good point.
If I can just jump in front of Jennifer very briefly.
Sure.
And one of the purposes of the notes is really our record of business. And so if we don't write a decision down, it hasn't been made. And if we
Yeah.
don't know how to write it down, then we really haven't made it either. So that's I thank you. Thank you both for bringing that nuance up.
Jennifer and then Alexis.
Yeah, I agree with Charlotte. It's sometimes hard to get everything from a conversation that's, especially if it's a very spirited conversation. And I'm wondering if that's really what the recordings are for, because then you can have the closed captions and, you can see who's speaking and all of that. For me, I agree. I really want kind of, just a brief summary, the tasks, who they're assigned to, and if there is a decision made, what that decision was. And I think the decision, should also go to our decision log, if we decide to continue that as well. So it's in both places. And we've used like the action box for this, which I think once you do that, it like appears at the bottom. So I think that's really helpful.
Yeah. Alexis, Todd, and then Charlotte.
Yeah, so when we did meeting hygiene, was it a year or two ago? We made a lot of effort, I think initially, to record actions and decisions. I think we've gotten a little lax with that. So if we could try to be good about doing that again. And I think I agree, the convener should really, or even whoever is, leading the topic should be like, okay, we need to record this as an action and it's this person's responsibility. etc., etc. And then they're on the notes page, there's that list of actions. A lot of those probably need to be resolved. It's not just our in the PC meeting, our actions. It's from all the subgroups as well. So there's a lot of stuff in there that needs to be cleaned up and marked off as done. So I think it's good for folks to say, note taker, can you please record this as an action for me or for so and so? Can we please add this to this decision log? I think it needs to be explicit because you do get kind of, as I'm taking notes, I'm like, okay, I'm caught up in listening to everybody and trying to get down the important stuff. So sometimes the note taker really does need to be like told explicitly what to do. I think that would really help.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Todd?
Yeah, just to underscore what both Alexis and Jennifer have said, one, I'm glad that I don't remember when we did meeting hygiene a year ago, but I'm glad that's something that's been done, and it is so easy for things to slip. That's probably worth coming back to on a regular basis. Agreed that it's really useful to prompt the note taker when there's a decision. It's really difficult to attend and take notes, and it's almost impossible to participate when you're taking notes. So being very explicitly acknowledging that, yes, absolutely. And then to Jennifer's point about the spirited discussion, yeah, I think that does underscore the need for whoever's managing the conversation to come to some clarity with the group. Like we're wrapping up it, like we're wrapping the conversation in this position. Like we have do we all have do we have consensus about X? However, that's done. And yeah, I think that's really quite good. So thank you for those comments.
One of the things that I heard in my a very new inspiration to summarize things that I have just heard in meetings was the suggestion of some sort of template or exemplar note or something like that. How do we feel about that? Is that something that we would like to have? I think for my part, it seems like it could be useful. But coming up with such a thing might be, well, it would definitely be a task for somebody if we wanted to create such a thing. I think at the very least, it seems like squaring just kind of a making a concerted effort between all of us, people who are note takers and people who are leading discussions, just kind of to make a culture shift to be more explicit about what we list down as decisions or actions, and make a concerted effort every time we close down a topic to address the question, were there any decisions or actions in that thing that we just talked about? So, that's just kind of a set of oh, I guess I'm raising my hand. Oh, come on, Zoom. just kind of a set of intentionalities that we can adopt. I'm not sure whether or not there are any specific actions out of that. And Todd, I think, were you trying to say something? And then Thomas?
Yeah, I think those are good points. I like the outline format we have for the meeting notes. And then Thomas had a kind of outline in the chat. I think having like it might be a useful prompt to have an explicit place for decisions and actions. Could be useful. And also with that intentionality, if there is a goal for discussing a topic, if there's a if there's an outcome that we're looking for in a discussion, also good to have that seated at the beginning.
Yeah, I like that. I have to be honest. I'm involved in a lot of different meetings in a lot of different places, and most of them do have in the meeting notes for these do have discrete sections for action items and decisions. So if we're okay with it, I'd love to make a decision that we're going to add those to our agenda templates. And I could just make sure that that happens next time we put one together. Does that work for everybody? See a thumbs up. I see nodding. Okay. Well, there you go. We have an action out of this. And yeah, we'll just down here at the bottom, another thing that I think might be a good idea to do if we have time at the close of a meeting would just be to summarize the actions that came up in the meeting just real quick. So I will try to make that happen.
Can I suggest that right now we have a column for time for how long? And maybe I think we could have time and item collapsed in one columns, and so that would give us more space for notes and decisions.
To shrink this column is what you're saying,
No,
or
merge time and item. So it's just one column,
oh,
and then you
okay.
have 2.5 minutes, and then you can have a welcome and announcement just underneath, and then you. We get we because we are using so much real estate on the screens for information. There's not so much with content, or it's just a way to organize ourselves.
Okay. Yeah, I could do that. I like listing the timeout. It helps me tremendously when I'm just doing the math and realizing when we need to move on, which incidentally, looking at the clock, we probably do need to move on pretty quick. Kristen.
I was just going to say there was when I was involved in a group, and we've carried this forward a little bit here, it's hard to do. And I know we've probably talked about it on the Brandon Council in the past, but the way that we take minutes right now is really geared towards what the agenda is. And it's just basically like writing down what we talk about. And I know when I was in another group, we were more explicit around discussions, decisions, and action items. And so that might be a way after the person taking the minutes is just going to be, more in that sort of transcription mode. I'm going to write down what was talked about under each topic. And maybe the PC would want to take that opportunity even during the Tuesday meeting that I don't go to anymore. But at that point in time, to look and say, did we make discussion? Are there action items or decisions that we need to call out in these minutes? So that it's not necessarily like just this extra burden on the minute taker who's going to be busy just trying to like capture things in that moment, but that opportunity to look back at the previous week and see what those action items and decisions are and make sure that they are explicit and then, placed wherever they need to go so that they can be followed up on.
I like the idea of addressing it at the Tuesday meeting. I think that even if it does get addressed during this meeting by the note taker, it would be good to have that at least that redundancy on Tuesday as we pull it back up to be like, did we catch everything? Is this right? And it takes some of the pressure off the note taker, which it's not an easy job. And as people have pointed out, it's an even more difficult job if you're taking notes in a language that's not your first language. So, anything we can do to kind of lighten that burden would be great. So, all right, liaison updates. Anything from RMS?
Remember
Sorry, I had
correctly,
trouble.
RMS didn't meet.
Yeah, thanks, Harry. I couldn't find the unmute button. I was talking to myself. No, I guess that's what we did this week.
Fantastic. Any updates from the technical council?
Yes. In fact, I could go ahead and publish. The big thing was discussing the the support line for timeline for Ramzins and by extension for Sunflower. So there's still the proposal. Well, there's a number of factors, but the proposal right now is to extend to have Ramzin support, like official Ramzin support. We will fix new P1s through the end of the year and extend security triage through the end of March. That's not to say that if something comes up and someone's willing to fund a development team to fix a new P1 that appears late, this late in Ramzins, that it's not saying that would not be accepted. But when we're talking about P1s this late, the biggest concern would be that they would be security P1s related to some kind of underlying library that's fallen out of support. And we really aren't going to have the resources to promise we can fix the underlying, I don't know, Spring Boot framework bug. So that's what's going on there. There was some discussion that like there are some of these things that are technical, like dependencies falling out of support, but there's also community and like both product and community implications. Like for the product, well, what's going on if there's some new P1 this late and there's a whole bunch of libraries that haven't migrated? That seems like a product issue, or like. But also on the community side, I mean, that intersects with community, but also with like funding for development environments for a very old release, funding of backporting. That's a real cost. So it's not just a TC issue. I think I mentioned, right, considering the differences between like the guaranteed support, we'll definitely prioritize P1s versus extending security triage and accepting fixes that a dev team might decide, yeah, we really need to do this, even though it's beyond official support. Always possible. There was couple notes that we're having to make this decision because of the decision to delay Trillium. So that's something that we should need to communicate to RMS at some point, somehow, is that this Trillium decision also has support consequences, especially because of the underlying libraries that fall out of support on a cadence that does not match our release cadence. And then the final point that people were making was that making a decision about su the support timeline in the framework that we're having to do is also a bit of a problem. It's a little too compressed to understand or to really discuss and grapple with all of the complexities.
Are you saying that making a precedence creating decision right now based on things that are happening a couple months from now is like maybe we should make it, y'all should, the technical council should make a decision for the immediate issue and then like kind of have more lengthy discussions about how we want things to work moving forward? Is that the idea?
Well, it's a decision that has it's the TC being asked to make decisions that have product and community implications. So, and make it now. Like it's not a great setup.
It seems like what the product council should be hoping for from the technical council, and maybe the community council as well, is a technical recommendation, rather than a decision. Maybe that could be communicated to the technical council.
I would also add that well, two people who've done a lot of work on this are here. Julian put together and made a couple revisions to at least one version of the support proposal. Alameda did a lot of thinking and writing up about some of the potential options for dealing with security vulnerabilities, which made it clear that some of those options are really too expensive for us. So I would just ask if either of them would like to add anything at this point.
Well, Jeremy has already talked about the announcement that there will be a Sunflower Okapi Bugfest, and that will help people to migrate to Sunflower under Okapi. That should be much more easier than migrate to Sunflower under Eureka. And this will make this decision easier because you have a known migration path. And so there's less pressure to get extended support for Remsons. But it's still clear that some implementers still haven't migrated to Remsons yet, but they should really speed up. It's really a long time ago that Remsons has been released.
That is true. I think I really like your point, Todd, that that this decision has product implications. And I think that it would, if everyone is cool with it, I would like to put on the agenda for next week to set aside some time to talk about what the product implications are of the support periods, and allow us as the product council to kind of weigh in on this discussion from a less technical perspective, but just on the idea of needing to use a product that is supported and things of that nature. Does that seem fruitful, or am I the only one who feels like that would be a good thing for us to talk about? Jennifer.
Yeah, I think that would be fruitful. I that's why I kind of, when I heard about it, I brought it up, the last week, kind of how does this affect the product as a whole? Because, we are thinking, we have the vision document, but I mean, I think this falls under our purview, really, as product council.
Okay. Well, we can explore how we frame the discussion more next Tuesday at the planning meeting, but this de definitely seems like something we should square up to some degree. Alameda.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to add some context. So the proposal was recommending Remsons end in December. We revised it to say there are two aspects of this. One side are P1 security issues, and another side is P1 functional issues. The proposal was revised to say this stands for P1 security issues, and where the product council can provide input is, when a P1 functional issue happens, outside of that support period, how does it get done? And that was something the technical council couldn't really
Okay.
Weigh in on at that time. I wanted to make another point, but I forgot, so I will stop here. Thank
Well,
you.
that's super helpful though. I mean, that definitely points us in a great direction. So yeah, I think that's a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. Alexis.
I am asking for what the action item is here, if there is one.
The action item, I mean, I don't know if we, I mean, yeah, we could capture it. It's just that we will discuss putting this topic on the agenda for for next time.
So, and the topic is how to handle when a P1 functional issue comes up.
Yeah, and I guess I mean I would like to talk a little bit about how we'd like to frame it, but I suppose it might be a good idea for the product council to come to an agreement on what our perspective is on this and maybe communicate it to the technical council in some way.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're just blowing through these things. Any updates from the CC?
Nope, we haven't met since before WolfCon. We meet next week.
Awesome. All right. Let's if y'all are cool with it, just based on the time that we have, I really we felt that it would be a good idea if we're forming new subgroups to clean up our list of subgroups. But and I do think that that is the case. We should definitely do that. But I'd like to prioritize the formation of the groups over the cleaning up, just to make sure that we have enough time to get that going. And seeing as we have 20 minutes left, is anybody opposed to me swapping the order of these two topics and starting with subgroup formation? Okay, cool. All right. I can pull this page up. What we're hoping to do next is form up three different subgroups based on the three priorities that we selected last week for coming out of WolfCon that we want to focus on for the next year. The way that we have been handling that is over here in, if I can get this open over here in Slack. Let's see. The product council. Yeah. All right. So we have these three threads going for the three different groups. We hope to start the community priorities dashboard, community directed development framework, and RMSPC roles, relations, and communication. So it looks like we have more people on here than we did last time. This is great. Lisa, Alexis, and Todd, and myself. Or did I sign up on this? No, I guess I didn't do this one. All right. Community directed development framework. We have a few people on here. That's awesome. And then the RMS group. Charlotte and I can figure that out. And Todd. Awesome. Okay. All right. So, I think that it would be great and actually kind of important if we had as much participation in these working groups as possible. So it would be really good if everybody that is a voting member of the PC throw their name down on at least one of these groups. I think the way that we talked about handling this at the planning meeting, and if anyone has any other suggestions, we can certainly consider those now. But what I'd like to do is find a convener for each one of these groups. And then that convener can go through the exercise of contacting the people who have expressed an interest in joining, figuring out a good date for a first meeting, and then what we'd like to do at this point is kind of decide what the initial deliverables are from each of these groups. The idea being that each of these groups can kind of form up, meet together, kind of self-discover a charter for the group and like a proposed set of deliverables, a timeline, things of that nature, and bring that back to the PC kind of to, I guess, kind of ratify those decisions. As a good way to kind of get these groups formed up and pointed in a good direction. Does that seem like an effective approach? And I'm not sure if I can see people's hands. Oh yeah, definitely hands. All right, I see Harry and then Alameda.
Jeremy, question.
Yes.
At the Tri-Council meeting at WolfCon, wasn't there also supposed to be a group that was supposed to form and discuss the community development process for Koha and to further investigate how that occurs as a possible alternative to the current proposal for community-directed development?
I do recall certainly that coming up, and it also came up in one of the discussions around the community-directed development presentation at WolfCon. I do not remember off the top of my head who it was who said that they would spearhead that endeavor. Does anybody?
So I think it was, sorry for jumping, but I think it was mostly around how to fund community directed development, where we would like to explore how is Koha managing that.
It wasn't just about funding. It was the entire process because they have a very lightweight process, agile in a sense, but also very much libraries interested in something and being able to connect them to organizations willing to do the work.
I think I thought this at the Tri-Council meeting, and I still am of the opinion that that would be a fruitful area of investigation. I was under the impression that that was going to be a Tri-Council endeavor. So these three subgroups that we're talking about here should not be viewed as mutually exclusive with an endeavor to investigate the Koha stuff. But I appreciate you bringing that up, Harry, because it does seem like it would be a good thing to do. And I will reach out to the Tri-Council chairs and see if any of them re remember. And I see Alameda has his hand up. Maybe you recall, were there any plans with the chairs to get that group off the ground?
I raised my hand for an unrelated thing,
Okay.
but I'm not aware of any plans from the chairs.
Okay. Well, I'll
It's
try to pursue that conversation with them to see
it should
how.
be in the notes.
Okay. Yeah.
I can butt in and say that the afternoon meeting for PC at WolfCon, the afternoon shoulder meeting, was deciding the priorities, and these three groups reflect the prior what became what percolated to the top of the priority list for the PC, what we thought we could actually make real progress on this year. And I also had the impre I also came out with the impression that the development process would be more of a cross council issue, because it certainly has a lot of implications at the community level as well, and the technical.
Yeah. Though, I mean, this PC community directed development group, if they once they get together, if they decide they want to start bringing in information from co the Koha community, I think that is entirely appropriate. Harry, is your hand up again or still up?
Sorry, still up.
It's all right. Alameda?
Yeah, I remember the point I wanted to say the last time. So the proposal is not specific to Ramsons and is actually let's say a revamp of the support policy that was decided around 2022, which is, current release plus previous release. This would be altering that policy completely to tie to specific dependencies. So discussion about what Folio's support policy is also seems to be something more than the technical council. So that's why we need cross council discussion.
I appreciate that point. Thank you, Charlotte. Charlotte has shared the notes to the Tri-Council meeting. Okay, so I'm just in order to kind of move forward with the formation of these groups, I'm just going to kind of go down one by one, and try to find a volunteer to convene each of these groups. Alexis.
I think so. The community priorities dashboard is kind of Caitlin's baby, but I know she's not here right now. So I'm willing to kind of get things started with that group, but then I suspect she might want to take over chairing it.
What you just said was like literally exactly what I was going to say, was
Okay.
that there's a really good chance that volunteering to chair this group is going to be the easiest one, because I think that she would probably be willing to swap that out with
I
somebody.
volunteer.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. So yeah, so what that would mean then, Alexis, is that you could reach out to Lisa and Todd and see about setting up a time to meet. And what I'm going to propose is that we put on the calendar for either next Thursday or maybe the Thursday after, for just a target deliverable of coming back to the PC with "we met, this is our proposed timeline for meeting, this is our charter document, just kind of a statement of purpose, and these are the deliverables that we hope to produce." And I mean, this could be an iterative process and evolving, but just kind of just a first draft of like this is how this group views itself. Awesome. Okay. All right, moving right along. Community directed development framework. Anybody wanting to chair this subgroup? Okay. I would love to chair this subgroup, but I didn't want to just snap it up if somebody else wanted to. So I would be happy to do that. We will be the group that brought about the CDDF is going to have another meeting next Wednesday to kind of wrap things up and look at the feedback coming out of WolfCon. So I mean, I will get with the people on this list, but it could be that that group itself would be a good place to kind of to have some kind of continuity between the last group and this subgroup. So but yeah, I will do exactly what I said to Alexis. I'll reach out to the folks who have signed up for this and try to arrange a meeting for that. Okay. RMS PC roles, relations, and communication. Do we have a volunteer for convening this group?
I could kickstart the meeting, but I am simply too busy with migration and some big customer project to be the convener and drive the work to the very end. But I can kickstart it, and then Jennifer is not here today, so then maybe we could, talk among ourselves and see if there's someone who has signed up here who would be willing to do the. Be the convener.
Yeah, I'm
Oh,
here
you are there. Oh,
today,
sorry.
but I just, yeah, we've lost a couple people in my unit, so I'm basically the only one right now, and I'm chairing a couple other groups. I simply can't take this on right now.
Sure. Okay. I appreciate Charlotte, you getting that meeting started. And I will definitely attend that meeting, and maybe at that meeting we can figure something out. Maybe we could come up with some kind of like rolling schedule or something like that, or something along those lines. Todd, did you have something?
Well, I mean, there's one thing as I was trying to sort out, can I reasonably chair this? And the answer is no, actually, I can't. But it does seem like we have a lot of the the same people in the volunteering for the groups, and be useful if more people could step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we might get to a point where we just start numbering people off and saying these are your groups and things like that.
The other question might be, are there people not in the PC who we might recruit? So.
Absolutely. These groups are certainly open to non-PC members. And Thomas, this is in relationship to which group?
Just what Todd was saying. I'm actually kind of interested in all three of them. I do have one or two preferences, but I have a lot of meetings from 9 to 12. So depending on when these fall on what day, I might be able to participate on one and not another one just because of other.
Well, for the initial meeting, I would encourage you to throw your name down on any of these that you want, just to kind of have the first meeting, and then you might have some influence over when the regular scheduled meeting occurs, and maybe ensure that it lands at a time that's convenient for you.
I can do that.
Jennifer?
Actually, I have a proposal because I have, the names on many of these boards are they're kind of the same people. And I'm wondering, we don't have to do these all at the same time. So maybe we can, like the community dashboard priority can go first, and then, this RMS one, which we this has been a problem, for some time. It can probably sit for a while. So maybe if just doing that, because like Thomas said, Charlotte's on a couple, I was thinking maybe the dashboard as well. Maybe we can put the RMS one on pause and just have the dashboard priorities and the community directed one. Because I think we're all in a lot of meetings and we're all pretty stretched.
I'm not opposed to that. Let's do this. Well, okay, Alexis.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that either. Sorry. I really think it's important that every member of the PC be on one of these groups. Yeah, because I mean, as we've all seen, there are definitely certain people who always tend to volunteer. So understanding that not everybody's going to be able to make it to every meeting, but there's asynchronous work that can be done if you can't come to the meetings.
Absolutely.
I just think that, and I realize there are some people who aren't here today. People are sick, they had other responsibilities, but we can totally follow up with those people and get them on a group. So I think that's just me kind of putting my foot down a little.
In fact, you, Alexis, could put me down for an action item for sending out a super friendly passive aggressive message to everybody who hasn't signed up for a group. Let's do this. I like that idea, Jennifer, of potentially prioritizing our priorities. But let's get these first rounds of meetings out of the way. Charlotte has generously said that she would organize the meeting for this RMS group. I think it is a really important conversation. And one meeting, we could probably get one meeting out of folks on this RMS topic, and it would give us some time to think about how we might want to stage or stagger these things. And I think that that's definitely an option we should kind of keep on the table. Okay. Another action item, Alexis, you can put down for me is I'm going to actually do the work of creating these on the wiki, creating these groups on the wiki, and then we can tackle the cleanup of that page at a future meeting. All right. Any other parting shots before we close things down? We are open to non-PC members in these groups for sure. We definitely want participation from 100% of the PC in these groups, but I think these groups will be only enriched by including other people. So, Awesome. All right. Well, I hope the rest of y'all's days go great. Thank you.
Thank you,
Bye.
everyone.
Bye, everyone.